Blog Talk Radio.
I watch your face while you are asleep.
The machine.
What have I done to deserve a life like this? The devil's scared to fight us in the light. He hides in the midst of religion. But I know that my God is listening. And for me, there's a greater mission. You're no girl, you're no man, but a plan for greater peace. I'll fight for the light until my flesh falls to cease. I'm fighting the devil, fighting police. And in the church, Lord, I'm looking at it Satan, cause in my music I curse. But I'm trying to do better, and that's the thing that really hurts. All the sex and the drugs in my life mean nothing. When my super friend hugs me at night, tears come rushing. There's no kryptonite, no villain, no lie that could be told that can separate the power that you have over my soul. So sudden is a habit when I'm gripping this mic. Y'all thinking I'm a pimp, but I'm trying to be like Christ in real life. Yeah.
Saturdays, 10 a.m. You know, this week went by fast.
I mean, you know, everybody's alive.
It's Saturday, though. It's the Sabbath, you know. Everybody is, you know, the day to worship whoever it is that you worship and give thanks for all the blessings that you have. And if you're above ground and you're breathing and you're healthy and you've eaten something today, it's a day to be thankful for, you know what I mean?
Amen.
Because I think a lot of people just don't appreciate the simple things and the simple. Everybody has a gift and everybody has something that they're great at. I mean, God created everybody special. He didn't just give one person all of his power and all of his grace and all of his glory. He gave it to everybody, and everyone has it. And it's us for us to find what that is and go out and share it with the world and uplift everyone as a people.
Yeah. So basically, since we on right now, so I want you to go ahead and explain about Men Are Not the Problem. What's Men Are Not the Problem? What's the title? Like, what's the meaning of the title?
The title basically is, and I've read some comments and I've heard some people say that me naming the book Men Are Not the Problem is generalizing the fact that, oh, I'm saying that women are the problem in relationships, and that is not what I'm saying. Men Are Not the Problem simply states that you have to look within yourself sometimes to figure out what is wrong with your relationship. You can't always blame other people, because I know for a fact there are thousands of women that spend years and years and decades with a man that cheated on her repeatedly or beat her, abused her, and they chose to stay in that relationship. And that's the whole thing, is learn to take responsibility for your action. And that's why I named the book Men Are Not the Problem, because I was in situations like that, that finally I had to come to grips with it, that I'm letting this happen to me. Because if you go into five different relationships, and five of your relationships end the exact same way, there is just one factor that's always constant in those relationships, and that's you. And you got to reevaluate who you are and what you want and what you need in your life, because you can't expect somebody else to make you happy. You have to realize, in order to be happy, you have to be happy inside yourself with who you are and what you're trying to accomplish in life. And once you do that, then you can find happiness with somebody else, because you already know what makes you happy, so you're not going to be trying to get that person to make you happy, because nobody can make you happy unless you're happy with yourself.
That's true. So this book goes out to men and women, because men is most likely the same problem.
Yeah, I mean, men and women can get with this book. They can actually see what is it that's from a female perspective, and how that, you know, the things that happen in relationships and the way that they treat us affects us in certain ways. And I want the people, because Celine, the protagonist in the book, she goes through a lot of different relationship issues and family issues and just a whole sordid kind of affair. And it's when she's at her darkest moment that she has so many things going on in her life that she realizes, wow, you know, I need to take care of this, because obviously something I'm doing is not working.
Okay. The next question I want to ask you about, you coming to America, did you experience black-on-black racism when you came down here?
Oh, of course. I think it still happens now, that we stereotype people according to how they dress, how they talk, how they look. I still get comments till this day that I don't sound black, because I don't know. I didn't know there was a certain way that as a black person, you're supposed to sound, or you're supposed to speak, or you're supposed to carry yourself. My mother has always taught me that, you know, no matter how poor you are, you carry yourself in a dignified manner, that nobody knows what your bank account is, and that's what I've always tried to do. when I first came here, it was when there was a lot of issues going on in Haiti. Not that it's calmed down any time, but it was a massive amount of refugees coming in. So I got picked on a lot. I think everybody that I knew that was Haitian got picked on a lot. There was whole weeks that it was like Friday was beat up a Haitian day, you know, at schools and stuff, and which what resulted in a lot of Haitian kids turning into gang members and, you know, clicking up because they were so tired of being picked on. And me being a light-skinned Haitian person, nobody really knew what to do with me, and I was just very outspoken about how prideful I was of my culture and my people, and I never, ever said that I wasn't Haitian for nobody, even when people told me I should. I wanted people to know that I was Haitian because I was very proud of it, And I'm glad to see that, you know, being Haitian is being more accepted into the mainstream culture. So I still think we have a long way to go because we're not being treated like other immigrants that come to this country. There is a lot of racial divide when it comes to how Haitians are being treated when they come to this country versus other minorities or Hispanic groups or whatever. But I digress on that because I don't like to go into politics when it comes to things like that.
Yeah, I was about to jump on politics, but you said it for me.
Yeah.
I was about to jump. I mean, what, Haiti was the first black African American or African Haitian, I could say, country that had independence. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, you know, that's a very powerful country. People don't see it.
Yeah.
And nobody knows
I mean,
the history about it. You know?
Yeah, and the issue is that I think most people don't understand the role that the United States itself had in keeping Haiti at the level it is. Because when Haiti declared its independence from France and fought off all of the French countries, the U.S. went with France and tried to re-enslave Haiti. And when that couldn't happen, they basically boycotted Haiti. They refused to buy and sell or anything from Haiti and basically cut off its lifeline. So there was no money coming into the country, which caused it to be poor because they didn't want the free the slave mentality to affect their slaves in the United States because everybody knows that the U.S. was built on the back of black people working the fields under brutal conditions. And they didn't want that freedom mindset that the Haitians had to influence their slaves. So they cut off Haiti, and they basically forced Haiti into starvation. So now when you see that the U.S. is sending convoys to Haiti and giving them peanuts, it's kind of a slap in the face because, you know, we knew how to fish, and you took away our fishing line and took away our livelihood, so now you're feeding us scrap, and we're not able to go back to where we were. So it's really kind of sad to think about it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't want to say nothing about the U.S., but it's terrible, man.
It's cool. It's all politics. There's always two sides to every politics. There's the people that want to keep you oppressed and the people that are trying to lift you up. So it's all politics according to whose agenda it is. You know what I mean? I'm not saying anything bad about the U.S. I'm not saying the whole of the U.S. was under this huge conspiracy to keep Haitian, but I am saying the people that were in charge back in the days in the 1800s and the early 1900s did, in fact, help keep Haiti boycotted that resulted in Haiti being to the point that it is now. And it just got released that the U.S. ambassador to Haiti was helping keep Haiti from getting this deal with Venezuela that would have saved Haiti $1 million a year. And help them with their electrical problems because, you know, there's no light and thing. I mean, this is happening right now. It's not even the 1900s anymore. It's happening right now that they did that and that WikiLeaks just released that. But, again, that's off topic of the book. So.
Okay. Next question. I'm going to ask you about what happened about you going to jail. Like, what happened with that?
Well, when I was younger, and I, you know, rebelled against whatever was the cause that all youth rebel against, whether it's your parents, your friends, the society that, you know, you grew up with. You go through that. I think everybody goes through that phase that, you know, you want to revolt against the establishment, rage against the machine that is all that you think is corrupt. And I went through the phase of, you know, being a fairly attractive young woman. I had a lot of people that were my friends that were partying with me, that I was going to clubs, and clubs led to drugs, drugs led to, you know, hanging out with the wrong people, and so on and so forth. So I ended up basically spending a good 5 years of my life going in and out of jail, in and out of jail, in and out of jail, you know. And the judge, I would say, took leniency on me because there were some times where I could have ended up spending years in jail. But he was like, I was smart, I was going to college, I had a job. So he took leniency on me. But the last time I got arrested was with a friend who went to go pick up drugs, and I was in the car with him. And when they arrested me, I was already on probation, so that violated my probation, and no judge would see me. And my judge was on vacation because it was Christmas. I got arrested December 2nd, 2004. And I didn't get out of jail until February 17th, 2005. So I spent about 2 months in jail, or 3 months in jail, and it really was a wake-up call to me. It was letting me know that you are not, this is not what your mom had in mind for you when she came up here and she worked 16 hours a day to make you, you know, into the person that she wanted to become, but being Haitian and having, you know, rudimentary education wasn't allowing her to become. I was in jail with a bunch of, you know, people that had already finished their lives. They were career criminals, crackheads, drug dealers, people that had murdered people. And it was an eye-opening experience. It was as if I was laying in my cot one night and God came to me and God was like, this isn't your life. This is not what you were meant to do. You were meant to be better. You were meant to be greater. You can be so much more if you choose to and you put your mind on it. You just have to believe in yourself and believe that there is a greater power in the universe that is pushing you along and carrying you along, and you just have to, you know, basically let go and let God direct you. And I think I started writing the book was in jail, and, you know, just like on pieces of paper and a pencil that we weren't allowed much. And I just followed to it, and I just kept believing, because as people kept telling me I couldn't, you know, there was a voice in my head that said you can, you know. And I, for one, started listening to the voice in my head instead of the people around me telling me I can't. And that's one thing you're always going to find is when you're on a road that you're placed on there, you're always going to see there are forks in the road that look shinier, happier, and easier to take than the one that you know you're supposed to take. And you have to have a belief that even though the road you're supposed to take may not be, you know, the cleanest one, the most brightest one, the happiest one, that's the road. Sometimes you have to go through the bushes and you got to get cut from the trees and you got to stump your toe before, you know, you open up to the road and it's the mansion you've been waiting for at the end of it that you would have never found if you didn't just keep going.
Yeah, yeah. So that's part of overcoming your demons, right? Without saying,
yeah.
Okay, because, I mean, you know, it's just really good. You have to overcome your demons and stuff like that, because, I mean, if you don't, then you won't be successful. I mean, there's a lot of experience you have to experience before you go to the next level, before you get promoted in this earth, you know what I'm saying, by God himself, because, I mean, there's a lot of people don't experience anything, but they'll experience probably 30 years later, and that's not a good feeling. But it's good to experience while you're young. Next question, writing your novel. Are you writing your next novel right now?
Yeah, I'm working on two projects. I have a journal that's supposed to be coming out the end of the year, and it's a nonfiction journal that I hope will help a lot of people. It's based on basically what I've learned about overcoming your demons, getting out of your own way, and, you know, following your dreams, no matter what anybody has said. If you are believing in yourself, you can accomplish anything. And I understand that sometimes it's hard to believe in yourself. God knows me, and sometimes I wake up during the day and I'm like, I don't know if I can keep going. You know what I mean? I just don't know if I can keep going, because once you decide to do something and it starts moving, you will be surprised at how fast it moves and how many things come at you. And you have all of these people, you know, telling you, well, you know, you need to do this with me, and you need to do this with me, and you need to do this with me, and you got to stay focused on what you're trying to accomplish for yourself.
Exactly.
And you know, it's about that. It's about sharing with people about, you know, just staying focused on what you're trying to accomplish and what you're trying to take care of, and overcoming your adversity and overcoming your demons. So hopefully that will be out before the Christmas. And then I have the second silly novel that is coming out next year sometime that I'm currently writing. You know, and it's basically Celine walks through that door and where her life has ended up since she walked through that door and made the decision to live her life under her own terms and not, you know, be the puppet of everybody else's conditions for her, what everybody else wanted for her, but being herself, for herself, by herself, you know, and listening to her heart and doing what is needed for her to be who she needs to be.
Okay. So the other question I want to ask is about how is life about, you being married and having kids and all that stuff like that? Like, how's that
going? You know, being a mom with young children, very, very young children, and, you know, having a full-time job, because, you know, I am not a bestseller yet, so I do have a full-time 9-to-5 job, I have to say, is ridiculously hard, and I would not be able to accomplish half of the things I'm able to accomplish if my husband Louis wasn't by my side as much as he is. He helps support me. He helps balances me. And sometimes he helps to take the laptop away from me and tell me, you need to relax because you've been on it for like 18 hours straight and you need to calm down, you know, and take a break. Because my daughters are 4 and 2, so at that age, they're not understanding that mommy is working so hard so that by the time, you know, you guys are 6 and 4, mommy won't have to have a 9-to-5, and I can be home, and I can take care of you guys, you know, and relax. So it's a delicate balancing act, because you have so many things that you're trying to accomplish, and you have all of these goals in your head, and it comes down to having to take it one step at a time and constantly reminding yourself you don't need to do everything right this minute, because, you know, everybody knows that God makes things happen in the time frame that things are supposed to happen. It's not going to happen any faster than it should, no matter how hard you push and no matter how hard you try. It's going to happen when it needs to happen, you know. I don't know the saying, it's like God may not always be when you want him, but he's always on time type of situation.
Exactly. He'll be there at the right time when he knows it's the right time. Okay, so that's finding balance in life, in your life. Okay, so last question is, how it is when you speaking and helping other people finding faith in themselves?
It is.
Like, you know.
The most. Yeah, I think it is the most wonderful thing. I tend to cry because I feel so much love and joy when you're able to tell somebody something and you see a light in their eyes that they feel you, they know what you're going through because they're going through the same thing. And for you to have gone through it and came out on the other side, you know, breathing, it's like you were running all this time and you had these demon dogs behind you chasing you, and finally you just ran through this path and you came out the other side and it was sunny and the beach was there and, you know, everything is happy, and you're looking behind you and you're like thinking, wow, damn, you know, I lost them finally. I lost those demons that had been chasing me. And when I talk to people and I tell them this, and they feel me and they understand where I'm coming from and what I'm trying to accomplish, and they know they can talk to me about anything and I'll be more than happy to help them. And, you know, you hug somebody that really, you know, is in a bad situation, and you tell them, no matter how hard it looks, no matter how bad it is, once you make a decision and you put one foot in front of the other and you just keep walking and walking and walking, eventually you're going to get to where you need to be, and you're not going to have to worry about it. And they know that you're telling the truth because you've been there and you've gone through it and you have the scars to prove it, and they know they'll be okay. It's a wonderful feeling. It's just an incredibly all-powerful, enlightening feeling. Like, that's the way it needs to be for everybody. Like, each person needs to, like, raise each other up. And that's what I'm attempting to do now that, you know, I'm at a point where I could tell people, look, I've done all this. I'm not saying I'm perfect now. I work on myself every day. God knows, my closest friends know, it's a constant battle with myself because, you know, you're still fighting who you were and who you are, and it's a transition. It's not something that happens overnight, but as long as you work to better yourself, it will happen. You will be where you need to be, and letting people now know that is a great feeling. It's a wonderful, wonderful feeling.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Okay, go ahead and let people know what is your site, and, you know, your interviews, where, you know, when you're going to have your interviews. We got like about probably 2 minutes left.
Okay.
So,
you can buy Men Are Not the Problem at lunacharles.com. It is on sale right now for $9.99, which is $2 less than you can get it at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. I am planning on some book signings. I have to get with some bookstores. I'll be doing some local book signings around the South Florida area, and I'll let everybody know when that's going to be. It will be posted up on the website, lunacharles.com. And if you guys have any events that's happening that you guys would like me to speak at, to the youth, to the young women, to women that need to know that it's never too late to change your life, I'd be more than happy to do that. Check out my contact page on lunacharles.com. And thank you for having me. And I hope everybody a blessed Sabbath today. And, you know, keep your faith in yourself and in God, because God, you know, as long as you believe in yourself, God believes in you. And he's got your back, you know what I mean? You just got to learn to believe in yourself, because he didn't put us here to suffer. He put us here to be great.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Luna. Nice interviewing you. Thank you for coming to the show. Whoever missed the show, go ahead and, you know, check out the website, blocktalkradio.com/faithpower. But it's really faith is power. You know, if you have faith in your dreams, go ahead and pursue it. Don't be afraid. Don't listen to the negative people. Go ahead and do what you have to do. Check me out. I'll be back on maybe on Monday, 10 a.m., same time. Check that out. Whatever you missed, just go back and listen to it again. Thank you. Bless.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.